Welcome I'm back not ready. To In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're having a great time here in the SDPB Rapid City Studios. It is the Festival of Books, and you can hear the readers and writers connecting right here on live radio.
I'm not ready.
And Kevin Wooster is sitting next to me, and he's by no means ready.
We're just talking Trump over there. I'm not done.
He's writing a children's book
and
about the
president.
Somebody shushed me. Hi, Kevin. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
You can see Kevin's blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Have you ever thought of writing a children's book?
Some people have said my columns, newspaper columns, have fallen into that category.
I didn't
category.
Know I set you up for that, but I set you up for that really well.
I have not, no. I haven't thought of writing any books.
All right, so we're going to change tones a little bit, and we're going to talk about your latest column online, but I'm sort of thinking about Fred Rogers, because, you know, he would deal with some of those issues like divorce and like death, and he was unafraid to talk about it, and you're going to write about divorce a little bit. I'm divorced, you're divorced,
yeah.
And what I didn't realize until after I got divorced, that some people are kind of judgy about it.
I've heard that.
So it can be kind of brave.
I'm a Catholic.
It's a little bit, you've heard that before. So it can be a little brave to talk about the end of a marriage begin with.
I can only tell you this, my wife, who has also been divorced, my current wonderful, lovely, forever wife, was going to come this morning by my friend J.P. Donovan, the former state senator, and be my fans. Yeah. And then she found out what the subject was, and she said, oh, I'm not coming for that.
Stayed home.
Which, well, I get a lot from her.
Yeah. Why write about this now? Have you written about it before? Do you write about it a lot?
That's often? What she said. Don't you write about that all the time? And I said, I don't think I've written about fishing your way through divorce before, which is part of what I did. You know.
Yeah.
And it was, as I say in the column, which is yet to be published, and she always says, did you ever think about publishing your columns before you go on the air to talk about them? Well, sometimes, if I get more organized, I'll do that. But I talk in there about how some people drink their way through divorce, and some people romance their way through divorces. and I was fortunate not to try either one of those, possibly just because I don't drink and I'm not highly sought after in a romance. And I fished and hunted my way through my divorce. And prayed and, you know, raged and all those other kinds of things, and also exercised through my divorce. This gave me a chance to write about what I call my divorce bike, which is still in my garage in our house up off West Boulevard. It's a 1989 Diamondback Topanga, which I paid $307 for. And for me, as a newspaper reporter going through a divorce in the central South Dakota, that was a lot of money to spend on a bike, but it was cheaper than going to counselors and buying a whole bunch of meaningless self-help books. I'm sorry, is there anybody that writes those books here? I didn't mean it.
Raise your hand if you write meaningless self-help books. Nope, no one raised their hand. Were you intentional about fishing and exercise? Was it just something because you were an outdoor reporter, you're an outdoorsman, was it something you just started doing and then realized you were doing it in a new way?
I had two kids, 5 and 7, that focused me. And they had their needs and demands were bigger than mine, fortunately. But you're looking for a sense of sameness as you're thrown into this unreal world. And nothing for me in my life has really been more comfortingly sane and same as the outdoors, fishing, hunting, hiking, biking. And so when I would go out there, I would say, oh, it's okay. I remember this. This is my world. Because this other world that I thought was forever, casually, complacently thought was forever, didn't, and if I'm going to blame myself, which we both deserve blame, didn't put the kind of work into a marriage that it probably deserves, just assumed it would last. And then when it was gone, and your family is broken up, and everything is deranged and surreal, you look for the real. And that's where I found the real. And also the endorphin rush from the exercise, which was better than booze or drugs for me, or romance. Why a lot of solid romance and going on? Didn't think that was a good idea.
So my parents divorced when I was an adult, and I remember, I mean, I'm not going to say it wasn't hard, and I'm not going to say we all did everything perfectly during it. Maybe I'd say that on the radio, but in real life, you know, feelings were hurt and things went wrong. Yeah. But I mostly remember it as a really positive thing because both my parents went on to wonderful marriages. They were happier.
Yeah.
They were more themselves.
Yeah.
So when I got divorced, I really kind of thought, like, this is the right thing to do for our family, and we're all going to go on and be happier. And so some of it surprised me. I got hit. I was blindsided by things that I thought were going to be okay. That in the end, you know, well, in the end they were okay. But there were things you can't skip a chapter.
No. And the best thing we did, my first wife and I did in our divorce, during our divorce, after our divorce, was not hate each other, and to continue to love each other in a different way that we managed to figure out how to do. And it was harder for me because I didn't want the marriage to end. But it was absolutely harder for her, too, in her mind, because she also had guilt over ending it. And that was the beautiful thing that came out of our divorce, which was a slap in the face for me on how you handle a relationship if it means something to you. You don't put it kids first, job second, marriage third, maybe third, but maybe hunting and fishing third, and marriage fourth, because it'll be there, because we said we'd last forever.
Right. And, we're fine. You know, we're good.
We're fine.
We're solid.
Everything's fine. And she would kind of keep saying to me, not fine, really. And I'd say, oh, come on. And that's how you end up. So, but I love her. We've gotten to share our kids' graduation and growth and our grandkids, and she means the world to me. Not as much as my current wife does.
Different.
Different
ways.
Very happy. And I hesitate to say that she's more suited for me because I don't want to diminish my first wife in any way because she's wonderful.
Fishing, though. Tell me a little bit about what kind of fishing and how, because I imagine somebody listening saying, okay, I'm stuck. You know, I'm in the space that you've come through.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that you can look back and see, you know, some things. But, you know, what's some of your advice to friends who right now are kind of going through the end of something?
Well, my first advice isn't about fishing. It's about that other person. And don't hate them.
Don't hate them. Don't hate's pretty good advice.
Don't hate them. Especially if you have kids. Do not hate the person that you have these children with, ever. Secondly, if you're going to go fishing, my opinion is don't sit on a rock and watch a bobber. I mean, if that works for you, maybe that's fine, but my fishing is very active.
You might want to wander into the water before too long.
I love to wander and wade and step on rocks and fall off and, you know, get wet and cast, and there's a lot of movement. And I fly fish now since I moved to the Black Hills when I got married to this wonderful wife I have. I've learned to fly fish, and that is a focus that is different. It doesn't exist in the other kind of fishing I did when I was going through the divorce, which is casting, and that's wonderful, and it's rhythmic, and it has an artistic flow to it, but it's not like this, where you have to focus on everything that's going on, and what the rhythm is, and where the fly is, and where that blankety-blank bush is, and you just can't think about anything else.
Were there revelations for you? Were there things that were, you know, almost like you're stepping on those stones across the river, where you're like, okay, it's not better, but it's slightly better.
The revelation for me was that it wasn't all my fault, because that's the first thing. And the second revelation was maybe I could be lovable, you know, because I think that's what you think was, whew, wow, what a failure. I'm a failure. Who wants me? And I think that's where all the drinking and the romance come in. And
the self-medicating, the distraction.
Self-medicating. And I'm not resenting it. There were times where I wished I liked to drink, because there were nights when I just wanted to stop feeling the way I felt. Yeah. And you just kind of grind through those, because you can't fish all night, every night.
The blog is at sdpb.org/booster, and this particular essay is not posted yet, but I think you're going to have some interesting comments and people reaching out to you about this topic. So
yeah, because I also talk about books, the real self-help books, which are poetry books and essays and outdoor writing and stuff like that.
Kevin
For
Lester,
me.
Thanks so much.
All right, my pleasure.